This is Levi, Travis, and Nate with Pearls and Swine, talking today a little bit about one of America's favorite pastimes, sports. We were just talking about how much we miss seeing some of those things on television. ESPN is playing some of those great classic games. I was listening to the radio, and I think Josh was playing some of those classic Michigan Tech games, and I find myself still listening. I know the outcome, and I find myself listening to it. It got so bad that my kids and I were watching bowling. we were watching bowling. Those guys are amazing, like how consistent they are at throwing the ball down there and it hitting just right and spinning and knocking all the pins down. It was fun to watch that whole thing.
So wait a second. You and your kids? Like, you got your kids to sit down and watch bowling with you?
My kids would watch sports all day long. Well, at least one of them, Hayden, would watch it all day long. He gets up in the morning and he watches hockey constantly. So he'll watch like different moves and stuff, and then he tries to perfect those on NHL on the Xbox. Or then he goes nice. Out into the parking or out into our driveway with rollerblades on and shoots on his brother. He actually bought goalie pads. And he makes his little brother put him on so he can shoot at him.
Nice.
Yeah. Sports is just a big deal in America. Over 100 million people watch the Super Bowl. And, I don't know if we're going to have a Super Bowl this year. What do you guys think?
Oh, don't do that to us.
I'm holding out hope.
So am I.
I mean, that's so far off. Yeah. I'm holding out hope.
It's Detroit Lions year. I hope they come. It happens too.
Yeah, they'll do really well and then they cancel the season right before the Super Bowl.
That would be the luck of Detroit. Yeah, that would be the luck of Detroit. There's lots of values, I think, that are produced in sports, whatever level that you're playing at, even with like little kid level to all high school, college, wherever they tell you for the final time that you got to hang up your cleats. There's values that are taught in sports, and some of those values are very Christian values that we have. You see the Apostle Paul talking with people. I think the people of the Roman Empire, they love sports too. They love the Olympics, and he uses some of his analogies that talk really about sports to help people to understand like how we're supposed to train and how we're supposed to be disciplined in our training, in our faith. Yeah, you just see that theme throughout some of Paul's writing to the Corinthians, especially, and I think to Timothy also, he talks a bit about that too.
Yeah, one of the things that's been super interesting, and I know we've had conversations about this, is they've got that documentary on about Jordan's last season, The Last Dance on ESPN. I've been trying super hard to be able to see that thing.
You cheap bugger, buy some cable.
I tried. So I tried very, very hard. And thinking back on those years of Jordan, he was one of my favorite basketball players to watch because he was so driven and he was so good. And you look at some of the stats that Jordan had throughout his career, and we recognize him as one of the all-time greats because he was a winning machine.
He is the GOAT.
He is the greatest one of all time. But the thing that I think we miss in some of his greatness is how much he struggled. And if you look up the stats on, I think it was even a quote that Jordan said, he's missed something like 9,000 shots in his career. He's lost almost 300 games. 26 times he was trusted to take the last shot and fell out short, like he missed. But we remember all those things that he did when he persevered and succeeded. And I think those are some of those things like you were talking about, Levi, about perseverance and how sports can really correlate with our faith. Like, we're going to have those moments where it feels like we're taking a game-winning shot in our lives and in our faith, and we come up short. So how do we rebound off of that? How do we continue to persevere and be strong in those things?
You need a Dennis Rodman in your corner, right? You need a friend in your corner to help you rebound sometimes from those things, you know, when you miss or whatever, when you're just not following through on your faith. You need someone who will rebound that and maybe even tell you the truth about kind of what you missed, dude, and you missed the mark on that one. And so you need people in your life, other teammates in that. And that's one of the things I think that's beautiful about sports is it teaches us kind of that team mentality. I don't know if bowling does, but I don't know if that's a sport either. Sorry.
A recreational activity.
Yeah. So
bowling teams and that
you
kind
were
of
on
stuff.
The bowling team, weren't you? You lettered all 4 years.
I did do it one time. It was pretty fun to get up on a Saturday morning, go bowling and hang out with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that teamwork in the scripture is very much a part of how we live out our faith, right? You can't do this thing kind of alone. You can't practice the I ams alone, or like how you're supposed to kind of live this thing out. How do you love somebody if you're never in relationship or you're never on the team with them? Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. As Christians, we build virtue and character in any craft, skill, or sport if we do things that kind of glorify the kingdom of God. But we do that in community. We do that with teamwork. We do that with others around us. It's not a, you know, single person sport.
Yeah. A lot of the times we view it as a single person sport. It's our faith. It's our personal relationship. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about how we are to encourage one another and build each other up. And I think sometimes when life is hard or we're struggling with our faith, we need to pass the ball off for somebody else to either pass along to another teammate or take that shot for us, metaphorically.
Nice. Yeah, I think also it's helpful to have people around us who are striving after the same things, right? So that we can fix our eyes on, one, the goal set out before us. In Hebrews, the author talks about that. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so once again, using that sports metaphor there. And then he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And what you were saying, Levi, for Hayden to get better in hockey, he's watching the guys who play hockey well. Right. And so if we're focused and fixing our eyes on Jesus, he can be our standard and our mark that we're pursuing and we're going after. And so it's helpful, especially as we have other people who are focused in on that as well. The Hebrews author talks also about this idea of throwing off everything that hinders us, sin that so easily entangles us, setting aside those things that aren't that important and letting them fall by the wayside as we pursue the goal of following after Jesus.
One of the things that was interesting in The Last Dance, because I did get to watch it because I paid for my cable bill.
Oh, that hurts, man. That hurts.
It is that Michael Jordan, right before they were playing one of the greatest teams of all time, the Detroit Pistons, and the Bad Boys. I love that team.
Must be some trouble with my headphones here. I didn't hear that. So
yeah, so they were playing the Bad Boys, and they kept losing to them. The rule of thumb for the Detroit Pistons was that Jordan wasn't going to dunk. If he came in the lane, somebody was going to hit him. So Laimbeer or somebody was going to Rick Mahorn. Those guys were going to smack him. The second time they lost to him and the Detroit Pistons went on, I think they played the Lakers that year and swept them after they played a 7-game series with Chicago. That's when Michael Jordan started lifting weights. He started to be disciplined in what he did, and he called everyone else out because he wanted to come back. Instead of taking the hurt, he wanted to give the hurt. And so I think that's a biblical principle, not giving the hurt, but being disciplined. Like he didn't do that. He was kind of a wiry 6-foot whatever guy who could jump out of the gym, but he didn't have the muscle mass, but he sacrificed and put time in. The scriptures talk about that idea that we run so to win, and everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. 1 Corinthians talks about that. There's this idea in sports, if you want to be great at sports, if you want to be at that upper level, you have to exercise your self-control and what you eat and what you're lifting and your sleep regimen, and you have to devote your time to your craft. I always loved Larry Bird, not the most athletically gifted on the court, but he put the time in to be able to take those last shots, to be able to be Larry Bird, one of the greatest players of all time also. So you see the discipline that he would put in and the time that they would put in order to be great.
And I love that story about Jordan because that fits well with what our main verse is for our men's ministry here at Evangel. Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, if you're not hanging out with those guys who are with you that can call you up, that can see your life kind of firsthand, and it's easy for us to kind of overlook our self flaws, right? Those are things that we can either easily justify or just straight up miss because we couldn't possibly be that way. But you can come around in a group like 33 and have brothers that are alongside you that are like, hey, dude, you are really sharp with your wife, you know, or you're really short with your kids. And like, you're seeing this bigger picture, but
you're really
not
cheap.
Zingers. Which, I mean, that, there's another one in Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Mm. And if you've got guys that are around you that can speak that truth to you, that can build you up and check you when you need to be checked, sometimes you need a kick in the seat to get motivated. Sometimes you need somebody to pick you up off the ground to help you through some of the trials and things that life throw at you. And if you're going alone, there's nobody there to give that hand up.
Yeah. There's a big difference between, you know, hanging out with a group of people who just want to have some physical exercise versus a group of people who want to compete and win. And so making sure you're in the right crowd for what you're aiming for. Paul talked about this idea, like, therefore do not run like someone running aimlessly. Do not fight like a boxer beating the air. And the idea is, like, if you want to do this thing, go at it. Like you were saying, Levi, like, compete in a way to get the prize. And that means training, but it means hanging out with the guys that are serious.
So what you really are trying to say is you better chiggity check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think in sports, if you watch any amount of sports, there's a difference between a pickup game that people are just out doing their own thing, kind of undisciplined. And, you know, they're trying and they're playing the game, but it's not coached. You know, one of the things as you're in a team sport there, and you're an athlete, there has to be confidence in the coach that he's making the right decision. He sees the big picture and he understands all the moving parts to that thing. And you see teams that are well disciplined in the fundamentals and the art of whatever game it is, whether it be football, basketball, hockey, I guess we could include soccer too.
Hey, whoa there.
Yeah.
Whoa there.
It's lowering the bar, I know. Maybe.
Yeah.
What?
But I think the same as in Christianity. You have to trust what God says. He's the coach. He's the one who understands how this world works. He understands how this thing was put together. He understands how to be human at the highest level. Jesus came, lived in the flesh, God in the bod, and he lived as a human. And so he knows our temptations. He knows how to overcome those things. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes when we see that, we're kind of like, coach, yeah, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm taking the shot. And it's the wrong call. It's the wrong call in our lives every time we dismiss the coach.
Yeah, and the coach is really the one that helps have the master plan for the team to work together. Because if you're just competing, as particularly in team sports, and you're just showing off your athleticism and your skill set and all that stuff, and you're trying to make a name for yourself, you're never going to be that successful in a team sport. You have to work together. And sometimes it's not the teams with the most talent that win. Oftentimes it's the teams that play the best together. And coaching is a huge part of that. But yeah, I mean, the same is true in our lives. If we're trying to go it alone, when we find a good team, when we have those people who are around us that help us and are a complement to, our strengths, where we can help out each other, it makes a huge difference in achieving our goal. And, you know, I think about the movie Miracle. Have you seen that? Yeah. It's a good hockey movie. But yeah, the coach's mentality, like, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the best team.
I actually saw it.
Did you? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys probably did too, but you're drooling on yourselves.
Oh, you saw the real event?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like 4 years old.
I wasn't born yet, but yeah.
No, you weren't born yet. Were you?
No.
It happened in 1980.
Yeah. I was late in 80, December of 80. So yeah. But the coach's mentality was very important for the United States to beat really one of the best teams ever assembled on ice, the Soviet Union. They had to play as a team, and it wasn't about finding those individual talent pool in the United States because we didn't have a deep enough talent pool. He had to find the best team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things that happens in The Last Dance is Michael Jordan, he kept going and he kept playing.
You're going to ruin it for me, man.
But he didn't have people around him, number one.
Yeah.
He was known not as the one who was going to be like a Larry Bird or a Magic Johnson type icon. He was just a scoring champ. He was he had the ability to do some great things individually, but he needed people around him. So they bring in a Scottie Pippen, which kind of completes some of that. They bring in some other guys around him that kind of really, Horace Grant, I think, was on that team. And then eventually Dennis Rodman. And so those guys kind of really elevated the team concept mm-hmm. to it. And at first, Michael Jordan didn't want to pass the ball. There was one game they were throwing it over to Paxson, I think it was his name, and he's just drilling. He's just shooting. The coach, Jackson, said, Michael, you don't have to do this all on your own. Paxson is wide open. And Michael Jordan said, I didn't trust my teammates at that point. And he started to trust his teammates. And that's when the elevation of the Chicago Bulls really actually happened.
That's why I think the idea of Jesus as our coach works out so well. Like, you look at even in Matthew, when he called the disciples, he's like, hey, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he takes these group of guys who are just kind of this ragtag group of all over walks of life, fishermen, tax collectors, the whole bit, right? And he calls them up to something bigger. He calls them to something greater than themselves. He gives them a purpose. He helps remove some of the doubts that they have with the goal that he's given them to pursue in life. And I think that's super encouraging for a team, whether it's a sports team or part of the faith team, part of the Jesus team.
Yeah, I think there's another thing is just the perseverance in sports. The reality is most of us on a day-to-day basis, we need the mercies of God because we screw up. We drop the ball, metaphorically. We do things that are not a win in our faith, and it's not perfectly walking in our faith. So the perseverance to go, okay, you know what? We know that God is merciful. His mercies are new each day. We get back up and we set goals and we keep moving forward. We fight the good fight and we finish the race and we keep the faith. And 2 Timothy talks about that, is that idea that we kind of continue to walk and we continue to get up and we continue to believe and we continue to go. You know, when things get hard, the easiest thing to do is go, the heck with this, I'm not doing this anymore. And the reality is our faith at times is difficult. It's hard in the midst of your wife or your mom getting cancer to go, God, where are you? Like, well, I'm not even doing this anymore. I'm not going. Like, I went to church, you know, like 15 times in a row. Like, I almost had perfect attendance for 3 months, and now this is what you do. Like, those are the moments where you have to go, okay, I'm going to trust you, God. This is going to be difficult. Those are I don't think you're allowed to call them that anymore, but the suicide runs at the end of practice. What are those things called?
Ladders or what's the, they call them something different now.
Yeah.
Killers, maybe.
Killers, yeah. But where you're running from suicides. Line to line yeah. and back and forth. And you're just going, man, this is horrible. I don't want to do this. And yet those are the things that build that endurance and that perseverance within your faith.
Yeah, and one of the most encouraging things about our faith for me is that God doesn't leave us alone to do it by ourselves. We touched on a little bit of the perseverance stuff, but in Romans 5, it talks about more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. Like, God doesn't want to leave us out to dry. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed, but yet he promises we're going to face those struggles. We're going to face those hard times. Bad things are bound to happen, but he hasn't left us alone. And he gives us the church community to come into and find those people that can encourage us, can support us throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, our kids should be also products of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. We should be encouraging them. According to NPR, 76% of parents encourage their kids to be involved in some type of sport. There's this encouragement, hey, you can do this, be a part of this, whatever. And in the same way, parents should be doing that with kids in the church and kids in the faith. Like, hey, you should be a part of youth group. You should be a part of this community. You should be pursuing Jesus. You should learn how to read your Bible. And we should have those moments where parents are they're assistant coaches to God, but right?
Yeah. And yeah. Even more so, right? Because if you look at the statistics of our kids and the chances of being a professional, it's like 0.003 or something like that. And our kids, but all of our kids are going to.
So he's saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. But all of us, like when you're growing up, like you probably thought, hey, you know what? My job is going to be, you know, whatever, a football player or a soccer player or whatever.
Professional bowler.
A professional bowler. yes.
But we're all going to have that opportunity.
That dream's still alive.
We're all going to have that opportunity in life, though, our kids, where your body's going to let you down eventually. We're going to age, and that dream is going to sail for most of us. And we're still going to have that opportunity to be followers of Christ, though. And we want to set our kids up to be able to do that well. So I want to encourage parents just as much as you encourage your kids in sports, 10 times more, man, encourage them to be followers of Jesus. Like you said, pick up your Bibles, teach them how to read them, teach them how to study them, teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm. Well, teach them like just the practical part, the fundamentals of the thing. Part of, I think, one of the reasons that people are losing in the battle of kids liking church is because it's like this God is great steeple throat approach to it, rather than like, this is actually how you live. This is how you interact with God. This is actually practical for life. And God enters in and changes and transforms and moves you into the direction of something that's really good.
Yeah. And it's a discipline thing, right? It's sometimes it's not easy to read your Bible. Sometimes life gets really busy and you forget to do certain things. And it's reminding and saying, hey, this is the priority. This is where we're trying to go. And if we're not doing this, we're not going to succeed. Man, I love all these sports metaphors. It works so well with our faith. Yeah, just enduring throughout those hard times. You know, I think of my own life and being on teams in soccer that didn't have a winning season year after year after year after year. And then the last two seasons finally have a winning season. And then we go to the state tournament. That was a long ordeal of just practicing and putting in time and developing trust with my teammates. And it's the same with our faith. Sometimes we don't see those wins initially, and it just takes the time and putting in the effort and persevering.
You got to grind it out sometimes.
I was just going to say there's beauty in the grind, and you might not see it in the midst of the grind.
Yeah. This is Pearls and Swine, a podcast of Evangel Community Church. If you have any questions, please email us. You can email Travis at evangelup.org. If you have a topic or something that you would like us, a question that you'd like us to cover one of these times on our podcast, we would love to be able to do that. Till then, stay safe and thanks for listening.